If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Thank you for listening today. UDocs@gmail.com. Email along the way. That's what we say for our guest segment. We do get emails from our listeners to talk about the topic that our guest is an expert in. For years upon years, Dr. Jeffrey Bland has been on the cutting edge of what they call functional medicine. In fact, he is considered to be the father and face of functional medicine. And his book, latest book is called The Disease Delusion, Conquering the Causes of Chronic Illness for a Healthier, Longer, and Happier Life, published by Division of HarperCollins, HarperWave. Dr. Bland, we're glad you're here today. Let me ask the basic foundation question so that you and Dr. Mike can kind of spread your wings and go a little more deeply into what you're going to talk about. So what is it? What is functional medicine?
Well, thanks, Bill, very much, and it's a pleasure to be with you and Dr. Mike. You know, I think we would say in the soundbite that functional medicine is focused on the reason that people get ill rather than what they have and trying to name and blame it, trying to figure out how they got there and what to do about its cause rather than its effect. So it's a form of healthcare that's really built on what we call systems biology, and it's really focused on trying to understand the own individual's cause of their illness, personalized, and treat the cause rather than the effects.
All right, so your book is called The Disease Delusion. Would an example of that be when I tell my wife I don't feel good, I'm sick, she said it's all in your head? Is that a good example of that or not?
Well, not. I mean, certainly in our head, it's a very important thing, right? Because yeah, it's one of our ways that we assess what's going on in our whole body. So I would not want to dismiss what's going on in our head as unimportant, but I also would want to go beyond that, which we often think of as it being psychosomatic, being not have any substance. If you really look at this whole construct that we're developing, this revolution in thinking in the 21st century about healthcare, we're going beyond the model of the 20th century that diseases were caused by a single agent, like an infectious bug, which was a major breakthrough in our thinking, you know, the turn of the last century, and led to immunotherapy and antibiotics. Certainly was a very useful tool in increasing life expectancy and reducing child mortality and all sorts of things. But the diseases we have today are much more complex. They're chronic diseases like diabetes and heart disease and dementia and arthritis, for which there's not one single cause. It's not caused by one infective organism. So in this case, we're going to need another revolutionary breakthrough in how we both diagnose and treat these conditions. And fortunately, that's at hand. That's the revolution that we've seen over the last 20 years. It's the genomic revolution, and it's telling us how we can actually make our genes perform effectively for us and produce health rather than disease.
All right, let's bring in Dr. Mike Roizen.
So we got into this pretty deep in the weeds, if you will, Dr. Bland. So let me come back. Why do you, and try and, if you will, elaborate on that, since we've gotten a whole bunch of emails now on this. What do you mean by disease is a delusion? There's someone who writes, I had, if you will, Clostridium. I had C. difficile, she wrote. That's a real disease. I got cured of it by an unusual treatment, but I had a real disease, didn't I? What does he mean by it's a delusion?
Oh, thank you. I think the title of the book certainly sounds like an oxymoron. I mean, we all know there are diseases. There's no question about it. But the question really, the delusion about the disease is somehow that this disease was passed down as a inherited factor from our parents, because our father had heart disease, our mother had breast cancer, our uncles had arthritis, our grandmother had dementia, that we kind of have felt that these diseases are passed down, these chronic diseases are passed down through the lineage, and it's kind of an inevitability. There's not much we can do about it. And that's a total delusion. You know this, and you've talked about it for years in your books and in speaking. We recognize that probably no more than 25% of the cause of our chronic diseases that we have as we grow older are direct tied, linked to our genes. 75% are linked to what our genes are bathed in, our experiences, our diet, our lifestyle, our environment, which then sends signals to our genes to express certain outcomes that we later call diseases. So this construct that we are inevitably going to get a disease is really, I think, a fallacy. And that's the delusion. There's tremendous amounts of opportunity for each of us to turn on our bliss genes, the genes that are associated with good health and long life, and silence our genes that we call our alarm genes that are associated with the production of these diseases.
Let me just follow up on that because it's almost scary how much disease we have now. Is the story out in the recent past was that 40% of Americans will have type 2 diabetes by the year 2040, and the genetics associated with it, there was a statement that probably 65 to 70% of Americans have a predisposition to type 2 diabetes, but clearly that isn't inevitable. How do you reconcile? Are we going to get to 70%? Will the food in our society cause all of us to get there? How will we stop that?
Well, I thank you. I wish I was omniscient enough that I could completely answer that, but I'll give an opinion, which I think is at least an educated opinion. If you look at what's happening in China right now, in 1990, I was invited to speak at Hong Kong University Medical School. And I chose to speak on a grand rounds basis on type 2 diabetes. And after my talk, the dean of the medical school came up to me and said, "Dr. Blaine, that was a very interesting presentation. You were very well prepared. It was very interesting, entertaining, and enlightening. But, you know, we just don't have diabetes like that in Asia, in China. It's not something that we deal with." In 2000, what was it? I guess it was 2009, so that would be 19 years later, so almost 20 years later, I was invited back to speak at the same medical school. It's a different dean, but this time they asked me specifically, would I speak on type 2 diabetes because it was epidemic. Now, that's 20 years. The genes in the Chinese people did not change in 20 years. What changed was their environment, and we've seen this in the series of articles that appeared in the Lancet magazine, a medical magazine, over the last couple of weeks, as to the rising tide of in China, where there will be more diabetics in China alone than there are in the rest of the world combined. If you take China, India, and Brazil, and you start in the Mideast, and you start looking at the relative increase in type 2 diabetes, it's truly being modeled like an epidemic, like an infectious illness. And it's not infectious. It's caused by the adoption of lifestyles which are not consistent with these individuals' genetic strengths. And so when you start exposing any one of us to an environment where our genes are not, we don't see it as a friendly exposure. We see it as a hostile exposure, like a foreigner invading us. Our body does exactly what it should do. Our genes turn on our alarm mechanisms, our defense mechanisms, which produces inflammation, it produces alarm, and that starts attacking our body. The collateral damage of that response chronically, 24/7, 365, is what gives rise to the diabetes, the heart disease, the cancers, the arthritis. And these are all preventable by matching a person's diet and lifestyle with their own genetic needs. Personalization. The food of one is not necessarily it could be the poison of another. So we have to find the right approach for the individual to allow their genes to express the bright light of good health, which is inherently possible.
Now, the question comes up, and this is a listener who has sent questions before, so I'll tell you that she's very, very smart. Says, what about our bacteria inside our gut? Doesn't this cause us to eat more, or aren't these causing us to eat more? And maybe it's just the bacteria, their genetics, that are causing us to eat more and thus develop diabetes, and we've changed what we've eaten and the bacteria inside our gut so much that we're destined to eat so much.
Dr. Michael, let's take a break, and Dr. Bland will answer that question coming up at a break. We're up against a hard break. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Dr. Jeffrey Bland, the book is called The Disease Delusion, from HarperCollins. This is You, the Onus Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Royston on Radio MD. Stay well.
Are you one of the millions of Americans whose thyroid gland isn't functioning the way it's supposed to? Well, now, there's hope. Introducing Actolin. Actolin is a dietary supplement that contains 17 ingredients that support thyroid function, your adrenal health, your energy metabolism, and your immune health. Actolin's nutrients were handpicked by the renowned holistic practitioner, Dr. David Brownstein. And now, for a limited time, you can get a risk-free trial of Actolin when you enroll in our convenient Smart Ship program and cover the first low shipping and handling fee of $4.95. That's right. Try Actolin as part of our risk-free trial and just pay $4.95 shipping. Learn more and sign up today at ActolinRadio.com. That's ActolinRadio.com or call 800-500-HEALTH. That's 800-500-4325. And mention promo code Actolin Radio. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
It's illegal and dangerous for teens to drink any alcohol and then drive. Still, 1 in 10 high school teens drank and got behind the wheel of a car in 2011. If you're a parent, be aware that when teens drink, it's usually to get drunk. Teenagers can't legally buy alcohol, but many get it from their homes or the homes of their friends. Drinking and driving is never okay. Make sure your teenager has a safe way to get home in case they're out with a teen driver who's been drinking. Put this in a parent-teen driving agreement, which should also include wearing a seatbelt and following their state's graduated driver licensing laws every time they're behind the wheel. Find a sample at www.cdc.gov/parentsarethekey. Parents really are the key to safe teen driving. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.